I am so happy to be here. It is a challenge to preach in another language that you do not speak. So be graceful, please. Please be graceful this morning for Pastor Sergio. Amen. Hey, as we get ready, we're going to read a scripture. So I'm going to invite Pastor Ron to read a scripture for us, and then we'll get started. Amen.
Good morning, saints. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 21 and 27. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up the one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. It is. If the foot says, I want to tell you something before I get started, and Debbie would know this. It never fails when I come up here to speak, my glasses break. You know that? I know. Thank you, Debbie. So let me try this again. This is how you know you're saved, when you're not embarrassed. Yes, the body has many parts, not just one part. It is, if the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? That's a question. If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part? Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you.
They broke before I got up here.
Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Hey, we talked about starting 2019 all in. All in. Can you say all in with me? All in. I love when the congregation can just repeat what you tell them, because that just tells me that you're believing with me. Amen? Amen. So we're starting 2019 all in. So let's do a review of the greatest commandment. Amen? Amen? Mark chapter 12, verse 29. The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your and with all your and with all your and with all your. And the second is this. Love your neighbor as your. And there is no commandment greater than these. That is just wonderful. So Pastor Tim mentioned last week about the five fingers. Do you guys remember that? And when he was talking about these five fingers, he was saying that our pointer finger is our heart, our middle finger is our soul, our ring finger is our mind, our pinky represents our strength, and our thumb represents our neighbor. Now, I went through that pretty quick because I want to clarify this point. If you have studied a little bit about acupuncture or even some type of therapy and you search it up, you know, there's a background about how a foot is connected to the rest of your body. And this is not what we're talking about. I just want to make that clear, that we're not talking about acupuncture here. We're just talking about a representation of what, how we can just go back to our hand and say, okay, yeah, this is the heart. And we can remember easily without having the Bible in front of us and saying, man, I just got to take care of my heart. I got to take care of my heart because that's the internal system, my GPS. That's where I make my big decisions. Amen? And then I can refer to my middle finger and say, well, this one extends out just a little bit more than the rest of the fingers, but it's because it represents the soul, and it extends more because it extends more than the physical life that we have now. The soul is eternal. Amen? And then we can go to our ring finger where we have made our daily decisions, our mind, representing our mind. We made decisions like, yes, I accept. I'm saying yes to that person for the rest of my life. And then we have the pinky, the strength, the external finger. The New York Times had an article saying that if you lose your pinky, you'll lose 50% of your hand strength. Isn't that amazing? How important this little finger is. If you lose 50% of your strength in your hand, I don't know if there's much we can do with that hand. And then we have the thumb, our neighbor. Another external finger. Well, the first four are about how we love God directly. The final one is how we love others. Taking that love that God has poured in us and pouring it out, going external. Amen? Now, we have been called to go all in our love, not holding anything back, not holding any part of our body back. Every part of who we are is under the lordship of Jesus. We have chosen that, right? We have chosen that. Say it with me. I have chosen that. So this is not something that someone else chose for me. We chose that. We chose our Lord, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we're going all in. And his plan, the plan of this discipleship, is to redeem every part of our life that has been broken. Realign each part of our life that has drifted away from him, from his original design. And to reignite with us in our passion and our relationship with him. Remembering that our love for God, or our love is for God. And it's not just something that I keep inside. It's something that I share with others also. And it's not about loving God with a religion or with a set of rules. It's loving God just as how you are, who you are. Pastor Dennis, as he arrived and he greeted me this morning, he said, you know, Sergio, you just got to be you. Oh, man, that just motivated me. Because, see, church, we are a body. We're the body of Christ. And as you act like yourself, as you are who you are in the body of Christ, everything that we do together is going to be good. He wants to bless our lives. He wants to guide us emotionally, spiritually, mentally, physically. It's all important to God. We are to love them with all of these areas. But who we are relationally, it is really important. In fact, how we live relationally is the single indicator on how God gives others and shows others that we are followers of Jesus. John 13, 34 says, "So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. You should your love for one another will prove to the world that you are. That's if we love each other. That if has a big emphasis there. If that's a decision. That's a moment to decide. That's a moment to say, yeah, there's no if in my life. I'm deciding. I'm saying yes. I'm saying yes to love. I'm saying yes to Jesus' love. Over and over, we see in the scripture that Jesus is reminding us of loving each other, of loving our neighbor. He reminds us over and over on how we should love our neighbor. Over and over, he's telling us to love our neighbor. Yes, we love God, but we have to love our neighbor also. They are no lone disciples. Following Jesus never intended to be an individual sport. It is always a team endeavor, a team effort. All in together. All in together. So while we're called all in our personal level, loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we're also called to do it all in together. And we see this back in Genesis, that God said, it is not good for man to be, it was all intended from the beginning. It was all his plan from the beginning. God didn't use the individuals in his plan throughout the Old Testament. He had his own people, an entire nation. Amen? The Israelites. So when Jesus came to the earth, he could have done everything himself. He could have just fulfilled that plan by himself, right? If there were somebody in the Bible that could have fulfilled that plan by himself, it would have been just Jesus. But guess what? He was sent to a family. To a family that accepted. And then when he decided to start his mission here, he chose 12 people to start that mission. Because he knew that it would have a better impact to do it all together than just doing it by himself. So, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. There's an important passage about how God has chosen the church to go all in as a body. Paul talks about it to the church in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to 21, that Pastor Ron read. And it says, the human body has many what? But the many parts make up One whole body. I love that. One whole body. That means it's complete, right? It has no missing parts. So it is the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we all have been baptized into one body by what? By one Spirit. And we all share the same Spirit. So there's many parts, but one body. Held together in unity. Jews and Gentiles. And in our church context, some who have walked with Jesus for many years, decades, others who are just new believers. And we have all different stories and backgrounds, but we're still the body. What unifies us is that we share the same Spirit. Just like the blood that flows through all of the diverse parts of the body, we have the same Holy Spirit who lives in each of us. It's in Him that we can be one. Yes, the body has different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body, because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? I don't think the body would do that, right? We all need our right hand and our left hand. And if you write with the left hand or write with the right hand, you can't tell your left hand, like, oh, that's, I just don't need that hand. I don't know why, you know, it was put there. It doesn't work that way. Amen. It's all part of the body. There are no parts in the body that are not needed. They're all needed. So Paul makes this analogy that is a little bit ridiculous, because sometimes we are ridiculous. Sometimes we tend to say, I mean, or can we say, can our feet say they're not part of the body because they're not a hand? No. But sometimes we can say, well, I should just leave. I don't feel part of this body. I'm not a pastor. I'm not part of this. We are all a body. We are all important. Are the nails part of the body? Aren't they so important? Maybe some of us are a nail, huh? You know, you get to scratch. You get to help others. Even in those tough moments where they don't know what to do. Isn't that amazing? Some of us want to be that point finger, huh? Oh, pastor, I'm a point finger, man. I can do that very well. You know, I think I'm that part of the body where I can just point. Then it says, if the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. Can we say that together? Just where He wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I do not need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. I don't think the head would be going anywhere if it would tell the feet, I don't need you. There'd be no movement. God has put each part where he wants it. He strategically designed his body to accomplish its mission. We have a mission here in Santa Maria. Yes? We are to care for our neighbors, for the new generations. We're in a place where Santa Maria is 80% Hispanic. Wow. And we're still part of that body. I'm just amazed. Because he does it. He designed this. He has you here. He's put you here. You are still here because you are part of this body. You are still here because you belong here, church. You are still here because you are important, church. You are still here. Because we need you here. I need you. Can you turn around and tell somebody, I need you? Tell them, I need you. Somebody told me that there was an important game going on today. I see a couple of people just saying like this. I don't think they're reading their Bible. I think they're watching that kickoff for that game and Chargers and Patriots. Because it just went quiet all of a sudden at, what was it, 10:15 the game was going to start? I said, what's going on? Maybe they're really paying attention. No, they're watching the game. You know, I just want to tell those Charger fans, you know, they're just, I don't think they have a chance. Anyways, we love you because you're part of the body if you believe in the Chargers. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 says, all of you together are Christ's body. And each of you is part of it. That is really good. All of you together are Christ's body. He speaks to the whole. He's saying, hey, the entire body is part of the Christ body. It's your togetherness that represents Jesus to the world. It's working together that represents Jesus to the world. But then he says, each of you is part of the body. That's individual. He's saying, hey, each of you. He's talking individually to each of us, saying, you are part with this God-shaped togetherness called the church. You are part of it. There's three things that are really exciting about all in together as a church. Number one, your faith grows my faith. When I see you pressing and overcoming, it encourages me. A couple of months ago, maybe a month ago, can we talk about golf?
Sure we can.
I went golfing with Papa Ron. And we decided that we were going to play 9 holes. Right? Was it 9? And we finished 9 holes and he asked me, hey, do you still have time? I said, yeah, I still have time. Okay. And he said, let's just keep going. I said, are you sure? Yeah, let's just keep going. So we did. But see, his faith grew my faith. Or was it backwards?
It was backwards.
I think that he saw that I was all excited about playing golf and he's really good, you know? He says he's not. But he got really excited to the point that we played an 18-hole, but then he paid for it. He paid for it. But see, there's moments in life where we see somebody else just pressing on and enjoying themselves in what God is doing. And those are the moments that we say, well, he's doing it. He's believing. God is doing something in his life. God is doing something in his life. If he's doing it in his or her life, I want some of that. I'm believing. I want to do it. Your faith grows my faith. Number two, we're motivated to action. When I'm by myself, I can easily slip to this idle position and just say, okay, I think I'm advancing, but I'm kind of stuck, but I think I'm moving forward. Maybe you're not, huh? But when you're with a friend and that friend tells you, what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? Well, I don't know. What do you want to do? Well, I don't know. See, when we get together with friends, when we choose to go fishing, when we choose to go bike riding or golfing or even football, you know, those are great moments. You know why they're great moments? I've been doing golf, and I intentionally went around the room, as you saw, and you saw the amen, because I've done golf, I've done bike riding, I've done fishing. I love everything. I'm not good at anything, but I love it. I'm not a good fisherman. I'm really not. I have a great teacher. Ricky Billy's a great fisherman. Just loves it. I fell the first time I went bike riding. Somebody posted that video on Facebook. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. Thank God they didn't. I'm not good at golfing, but you know what? It's about the time that you spend with people. See, Ron thinks that I spend time with him because he needs me. No, I spend time with him because I need him. I enjoy the time with him. Oh, when we do things together, church. Those are the amazing times. When we can just say, what do you want to do? Well, I don't know. What do you want to do? Well, I don't know. What do you want to do? Hey, if it doesn't go anywhere and you just drink coffee, why not? Why not? Hey, number three. We multiply our gifts. In our unified diversity, we can accomplish so much. So much more than what we can do alone. Because God has given us gifts. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12. Then Romans 12 talks about it. Then Ephesians talks about it. God talks about ministers being a gift to the church. But there's gifts in the church itself that are a gift to each other. Can you turn around and say, you're a gift? You're a gift. If I finish early, don't tell Pastor Tim, please. It was not intentional. I didn't really want to watch that game. That was not it. Oh, man. As I have the opportunity to speak to you guys and just come up here, you know, Pastor Tim was reminding me yesterday, and he said, you know, that's that diversity that we have as a church, to be a gift to others and in different languages. And I didn't understand what he was talking about in the beginning. I was like, what? What do you mean? But his life to me is a gift. Your life, church, to me is a gift. And you might not think so. But your smile, your hugs, your greeting to somebody else as you say hi, yeah, that is so important. That's what makes us a body. Amen. That is so important. Amen. In the coming weeks, we'll be talking more about a new focus in our community groups. But I don't think we should wait. Do you? I think it's time to meet with other believers. I think it's time to invite people out or invite people over. I think it's time for us to just break that ice and seek someone that is new to include. Because that's important. I hear stories about how people come to Santa Maria Foursquare and they're like, man, I just feel so comfortable there. They make me feel like I'm part of their family. And that's who we are. We're a big family. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you because of who you are in our lives. We are just so grateful. We are so grateful, Lord, that you are with us and that you have made us part of this family, this church family in Santa Maria. We are so happy to be part of this family. Show us who we are. Show us what gift you have given us to share with others. Show us how we can be a blessing to others. Even when we think that we don't have any words. Sometimes we don't need words, Lord. We just need to be ourselves. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.